violence from police officers is not something that people really expect en masse in Hong Kong, and this has really come to shock people.
Hong Kong's airport paralyzed by protesters. It's Wednesday, August 14th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. You'll also find us on Facebook at VOA Asia. Coming up, warnings of illegal police tactics in Hong Kong, immigration changes in the United States, the business of Japan, South Korea, and Huawei, controlling eczema, and a special farmers market. It's all on today's VOA Asia. Riot police clashed with pro-democracy demonstrators at Hong Kong's international airport late Tuesday, with many departing flights canceled for a second straight day. Protesters once again took over the facility's main terminal and were involved in periodic skirmishes with baton-wielding helmeted police. Hong Kong's airport authority said operations had been seriously disrupted. Reporter Erin Hale has been covering the Hong Kong protests for VOA. As she stood in the airport following the latest protest, our colleague Ira Melman asked her what started Tuesday's violence.
As I understand it, protesters first discovered that there was an undercover officer amongst them, and it got very heated with them yelling at them. And then at some point, they also discovered that one amongst them was a Global Times reporter, which is, of course, the state news outlet for China, and they were very upset by that. So there was a lot of yelling at these people. And then sometime after 11, about a dozen police officers came in the usual uniform, in the blue uniform, and they stood on the sort of near the entrance, and they were shouted down by protesters, and they retreated. And then about an hour later, maybe half an hour later, riot police suddenly showed up, and it was very, very intense, very fast. And they came in and they took out the officer. And they also, at some time after that, medics took away the Global Times reporter. And then things calmed down, and most people are leaving. And the SCMP is reporting that an injunction has been issued against the protesters, although they haven't cited their sources.
And what do you expect to happen as far as that's concerned? Do you expect the protest to go on?
Well, that now means that the police do have grounds to enter and remove people. So that's a pretty big warning to the protesters. I initially thought riot police might come back tonight. A lot of people say no. There's still a lot of passengers in the airport. Most of the protesters have left, but it looks like a lot of flights are still coming in right now.
How dangerous is this? I mean, you've been in Hong Kong for a while now. Have you ever seen anything like this before?
I mean, this is, I think we're in unknown territory. I was here during the umbrella movement, and that had some violent skirmishes, but that was pretty peaceful. This is something entirely, especially on Sunday, with police really getting increasingly angry and just violent with protesters, and very quick to draw sort of unrestrained force. I think they're kind of going past what their guidelines are. You know, they fired at protesters when they clearly weren't being threatened. And so it's really getting quite intense here.
What is the overall feeling in Hong Kong? Is there great support for the protest, or is that switching as you can see it?
I think a lot of people don't support all the tactics of the protesters, and they'll be very quick to say that, especially when they throw bricks at police officers and they've lit stuff on fire by them. But overall, I think the public has actually turned against the police because they've seen, you know, their children getting hurt, they're seeing their grandchildren getting hurt. I think, you know, violence from police officers is not something that people really expect en masse in Hong Kong, and this has really come to shock people.
Do you see any way out?
Unless, you know, Carrie Lam, actually, the leader, actually, you know, meets one or two of their demands, like withdrawing the bill permanently. And I think starting an independent commission into police violence would really go a long way. But the police unions apparently are blocking that. So as far as I can see, there is really no way out except for people get really tired and, you know, maybe then they go back to school. It's kind of like a war of attrition right now.
What's the position or what are the actions, if you know, and you might not, of both China and then the triads, which beat people up a few weeks ago?
There is, hasn't been fully proven, but people do think that the triads would come out and beat protesters on September 21st, and the police did not reply to 911 calls when that happened. So there's belief that there is some collusion there. And then similar people were seen this weekend beating up reporters.
And now the conspiracy theory is that we have these pro-China triad people working behest of Beijing. But, you know, this is all conspiracy theories. It could be true, but maybe there's a grain of truth, but it's really hard to say.
And what has this done to Hong Kong in your mind? Hong Kong has been known as being peaceful, being successful, a great place for business. What has this done?
I think it's really changed what people think of the city. You know, we've seen unprecedented levels of violence. The UN issued a statement today about police tactics and brutality. And, you know, its reputation is as one of the most stable cities in Asia and as a financial hub. And I think that is probably permanently changed. I think a lot of people are actually impressed with the protesters and how organized they are. But everyone's very worried that we could see, you know, 1989 again.
What's the other side of the story, if there is one? Have you considered that? Is there support for Carrie Lam? Is there support for Beijing?
Certainly in the business community, there is support for both Beijing and for Carrie Lam. Whether or not they've been pushed that way to say that is uncertain. But I would say that probably wealthier sectors of Hong Kong society are unhappy with this, and they just want to kind of get on with big business. And there's probably a lot of ordinary people as well who, you know, think these kids are annoying and should just go home.
Aaron Hale at the Hong Kong airport, speaking with VOA Asia's Ira Melman. The airport protests over the past 2 days are part of 10 weeks of demonstrations by Hong Kong residents against their perceived erosion of freedom and lack of autonomy under Chinese control of the territory. China's United Nations mission said the protesters were showing a tendency of resorting to terrorism. U.S. President Donald Trump told reporters the Hong Kong situation is a very tough situation. In a later remark on Twitter, Trump said, "Our intelligence has informed us that the Chinese government is moving troops to the border with Hong Kong." State-run media showed videos of security forces gathering across the border in mainland China. The protests present the biggest challenge to Chinese rule of the semi-autonomous territory since its 1997 handover from Britain. These are among some of the top Asia stories that you'll find right now when you pay a visit to voanews.com. Police clash with protesters at Hong Kong airport, forcing more flight cancellations. U.S. delays new tariffs on some Chinese exports. Indonesian firm cancels Chinese loan for its Trump project. U.S. says it's consulting on Asian missile deployment. A Pew survey says 60% in the United States hold a dim view of China amid the trade war. You'll find expanded coverage of all these stories and so much more when you visit VOA Asia Facebook and our website, voanews.com. VOA Asia continues. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. The UN High Commissioner for Human Rights, Michelle Bachelet, has called for an investigation into what she says is the use of banned tactics by Hong Kong police to quell anti-government demonstrations. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from the High Commissioner's office in Geneva.
UN Rights Chief Michelle Bachelet is voicing concern about the escalating violence in Hong Kong and worries about it spiraling out of control. She is urging protesters to express their grievances peacefully and not to resort to violence or the destruction of property. Bachelet, however, is urging Hong Kong authorities to refrain from hard-nosed tactics that violate people's rights of freedom of expression and peaceful assembly, and which are likely to cause civilian casualties. Her spokesman, Rupert Colville, says the High Commissioner is alarmed by the methods used by the security forces that are both dangerous and forbidden.
OHHR has reviewed credible evidence of law enforcement officials employing less lethal weapons in ways that are prohibited by international norms and standards. For example, officials can be seen firing tear gas canisters into crowded enclosed areas and directly at individual protesters on multiple occasions, creating a considerable risk of death or serious injury.
Colville says there are clear guidelines on how supposed non-lethal weapons such as tear gas, batons, and rubber bullets should be used.
Law enforcement officials should only employ tear gas to disperse crowds as a last resort, when widespread violence creates an imminent threat of serious injury or damage to property. And in this situation, the canisters must be fired at a high angle to create indirect fire.
The UN Human Rights Office is calling on Hong Kong authorities to investigate these incidents immediately and ensure security personnel comply with the rules of engagement. It warns excessive use of force will only inflame tensions and worsen the situation. Rights Chief Bachelet is also urging all sides to resolve the situation through calm, meaningful dialogue. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Happening now in Asia news, the United States says it is delaying a new 10% tariffs on some key Chinese imported consumer products that President Trump has set to impose on September the 1st. The Office of the U.S. Trade Representative said the levies would be delayed until December 15th in advance of the holiday shopping season. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're glad to have you with us today on VOA Asia. The Trump administration has announced a new policy that would impede immigrants already in the United States from obtaining permanent residency or citizenship if they use public benefits such as Medicaid, food stamps, or housing assistance. Activists are protesting the rule unveiled on Monday, saying it unfairly targets poor immigrants. White House correspondent Patsy Whitaker-Suara has the story.
Arturo Balbino entered the U.S. illegally 14 years ago. He has an American wife and children and a letter from his construction company employer guaranteeing him a job. Yet in March, his green card application was denied. The reason? His family's use of food stamps and Medicaid, assistance programs for low-income households.
A veces quiero pensar que todo va a salir bien.
I want to think that everything will be okay and I'll be able to be with my family again. It's very difficult to think that I won't be able to return to watch my children grow up.
There will be more people like Balbino, immigrants denied legal status because they are deemed to be a burden to taxpayers, based on a new policy announced Monday.
President Trump's administration is reinforcing the ideals of self-sufficiency and personal responsibility, ensuring that immigrants are able to support themselves and become successful here in America. Our rule generally prevents aliens who are likely to become a public charge from coming to the United States or remaining here and getting a green card.
A public charge is defined as an individual who receives one or more designated public benefits, such as medical or housing assistance, for more than 12 months within any 36-month period. Immigration activists accuse the administration of unfairly targeting poor immigrants. The rule won't take effect until mid-October, but the impact is already felt by immigrant communities.
This public charge rule has deterred some individuals from trying to access public benefits just because they're worried about either being detected by immigration and customs enforcement, for instance, for immigration enforcement actions, or being targeted by this public charge rule.
President Trump is running for re-election in 2020, and his tough stance on immigration may win him support.
With his base, this is something that, you know, I think is very much a win for him and something that he may be touting in the future, especially if Democrats continue talking about expanding public benefits for, you know, illegal immigrants.
The rule does not affect humanitarian-based immigration programs for refugees and asylum seekers and contains exemption for victims of human trafficking and domestic violence. The rule also does not impact family-based immigration, as citizens who sponsor family members for a green card already have to produce an affidavit of support showing that they can provide financial assistance. Patsy Whitaker-Suara, VOA News at the White House.
Coming up, the business of Asian rivals. You're listening to VOA Asia.
News is mobile and so are you. Get VOA on the go. Get VOA on Google Currents. Get VOA News specifically made for your tablet and smartphone. Clean, simple, fast. Now available for Android or Apple phones or tablets. Download the Google Currents app for free today. Get VOA on Google Currents at voanews.com/currents.
This news from VOA Asia. Donald Trump Jr. promoted two Trump-branded resorts in the Indonesian capital, Jakarta, on Tuesday. President Trump's eldest son defended against allegations that the Trump Organization's global business empire continues to create conflicts of interest for his father's administration. You can visit VOA Asia Facebook each day for top stories and great features. This is VOA Asia. As VOA Asia continues, Japan and South Korea's dispute widens, and Chinese telecom giant Huawei has unveiled a new operating system. These are the topics on today's VOA Asia Business Scene with Skylar Ogden.
South Korea recently announced that it plans to take Japan off its preferred trade list. South Korea's trade minister, Sun Yun-mo, said Japan's new downgraded status is for countries that do not respect international export control principles. The announcement comes just 10 days after Japan made the same move, sparking boycott rallies in South Korea against Japanese consumer goods. South Korea's President Moon Jae-in had warned that if its economy suffered, Japan could also expect big damage to its own economy. Under the new agreement, Japan will still be able to trade with South Korea, but companies will be subject to a more cumbersome and lengthier export application process, resulting in a potential slowdown of business and trade. South Korea has denied that its latest decision is in retaliation for Japan's, and the government has left the door open for negotiation. South Korea's Minister of Trade, Sun Yun-mo.
If the Japanese government requests consultation during the comment period, the South Korean government is ready for discussion anytime and anywhere.
Japan's removal from South Korea's list of 29 most trusted trading partners will take effect in September. Chinese telecoms equipment giant Huawei is rolling out its own new operating system called Harmony. Huawei revealed its highly anticipated Harmony as an alternative operating system for phones and other smart devices in the event that looming U.S. sanctions prevent the company from using Android technology. Android is a mobile operating system powered by Google, which until now has powered most of Huawei's smartphones. In addition to being cut off from Google's Android software, Huawei has also been cut off from American-made microchips and other hardware components. Pressure from the White House has kept Huawei phones from becoming popular in the U.S., but they are still strong sellers in Europe and much of the developing world. Releasing the new Harmony operating system is part of Huawei's defense in case it should be cut off entirely from U.S. technology. The first device powered by the new operating system Harmony will be a TV called the Honor Vision TV. For VOA's Business Scene, I'm Skylar Ogden.
This news from VOA Asia. Search crews in Malaysia have found the body of a 15-year-old French-Irish girl who went missing more than a week ago. Police say the body of the teenage girl, who had learning and physical disabilities, was located about 2 kilometers from the Doosan Resort. More than 350 people had joined in the search. You'll find all the big stories throughout the day on VOA Asia Facebook. This is VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, eczema is an itchy skin condition that's common in children, but it can occur at any age. It won't kill you, but it does interrupt sleep, and it can impact a parent's ability to work. No one knows what causes it, and there's no cure. But as VOA's Carol Pearson reports, there is a way to get it under control.
Ava Seeger developed eczema shortly after she was born.
We were trying to get that under control, and then all of a sudden she got these food allergies at the same time around 18 months old.
Probably a third of patients with eczema develop food allergy.
Dr. Donald Leung has been studying the link between eczema and food allergies at National Jewish Health, a research hospital in Denver, Colorado. Leung says there's a link between eczema, allergies, and asthma.
These people have dry, cracked skin, which allows allergens from the environment to penetrate through.
Good job, Lucy!
There was a time Heather Karazim couldn't imagine her daughter being active on a hot summer day because Lucy had such severe eczema.
She'd scratch until she bled, and then you'd worry about infection.
Research shows getting eczema under control early on is key.
What we need to do is rebuild the skin barrier.
To do this, doctors recommend what they call the soak and seal. It starts with a warm 20-minute bath that this baby doesn't like at all, followed by moisturizing the skin with ointment.
That will create a film of water that then, if you put a sealant over it, that will trap the moisture from evaporating.
Mitts prevent the baby from scratching. The head wrap seals in the moisture on his head.
He had the cracks in the back of his legs, in his elbows. Those are almost completely healed, and we've been doing this treatment for a week.
Keep yourself wet.
No one knows what causes eczema. Researchers are working to develop a way to test every element of the skin so they can identify what weakens the skin barrier and repair it before children develop any of these issues. Carol Pearson, VOA News.
Not too far from our headquarters here in Washington, D.C., in the U.S. town of Warrenton, Virginia, there's a farmer's market where people do their shopping and pay with what they have. Yahya Berzinji of the VOA Kurdish service visited the market, and his story is presented here, narrated by VOA's Kevin Enix.
Business is brisk here at this farmer's market in Warrenton in the state of Virginia. People are taking what they need and putting money they owe in a box. That's what's special about this place. It's up to the customer to do the right thing.
I thought I was dreaming. I've never lived anywhere where there was such a strong honor system. And so I wanted to not only give him what I owed him, but I wanted to give more. Because I thought, wow, what kind of person is being so trustful?
Alvin Henry, along with his son, started this farm last year with about 50 modest tomato and corn plants. He's more than doubled his output this year.
I started planting a few tomato plants and some sweet corn and things like this, and I had some extra tomatoes, and I started out on a very small table here. The table was probably 4 foot by 4 foot, and I couldn't be there all the time. And my front door here at the office here, I'm a real estate appraiser by trade, and my front office here had a mail drop in it. And so I started asking people simply to put the money, the change for the tomatoes in the front door.
Farming is still a way of life in this part of Northern Virginia, and markets like this are common during the summer and into the fall. And for Henry, he just wanted to get rid of his extra produce without having to hire employees or be at the market all the time.
Pick what you want at your price. You know, everything is, I don't know, I can't say enough good things about this.
I get some eggs, and I put my money in the slot. And, you know, sometimes it might be a dollar short, it might be a dollar over, I pay it the next time.
Henry says it's all about trust, and despite what you think, he seldom ends up feeling shortchanged.
It makes them feel good, and I just trust them, and they put the money in, and it all works out. And actually, sometimes I think I have more money than what I should have.
Henry's day job is in real estate, but farming and this market are an enormous source of pride for him.
I don't know if that's like a particular thing to our region of America, like particularly coming out of rural communities, but I feel like there has to be like a high level of trust in your community.
Henry says theft isn't a problem. In fact, he says the local bears steal a lot more of his produce than people ever have. For Yahya Berzinji, I'm Kevin Enix, VOA News, Washington.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. We're happy that you can travel around Asia and find us on many great radio stations like the Voice of Chungrung, Star Radio FM 88.3 at Chungrung Christian University in Tainan, Taiwan. We say hello to everyone there who is listening today. Thanks for joining us, and we invite you back for another program tomorrow. You can also catch our program on iTunes and SoundCloud if you happen to miss the live stream or the broadcast. We thank our director, Tracy Carter, our engineer, Cedric Franklin, managing editor, Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team, Skylar Ogden, Ira Melman, Keith Lane, and Anna Cook. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a nice day.